Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Questions and Answers time for Friday evening. These broadcasts are live every Friday at about 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and this program is designed to interact with you with your questions and comments related to the Bible, and we'll try to respond as well as possible by going to the Bible. If you're calling us by phone with your questions or comments, dial 209-647-1600 and enter the access code 181610, followed by the pound key, which gets you into conference. Then press star 6 and then 1. If you're using Skype, press the free conference call button, then press the dial pad button and enter access code 181610 and press your pound key. And to get in line to ask a question, press star 6 and 1. And if you're using Paltalk, you simply go to eBible Fellowship's room, and once inside the room, you can raise your hand, and when you're asked to, you can post your question. And so, with our Bibles at the ready, it's now time to turn things over to our speaker for this Friday evening questions and answers time and say hello to Chris McCann. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, everyone. And welcome to eBible Fellowship's Friday night question and answer time. Tonight, each person is invited to share what's ever on your mind by contacting us in the ways that were just outlined, and I'll try to respond as much as I'm able by turning to the Bible, as the Bible is God's Word, and it is there that we'll find answers if the Lord is willing and pleased to open up our understanding to them. But now at this time, we're going to turn to the first person on the phone. Welcome to eBible's question and answer.
Hi, Chris. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well.
Deuteronomy 31, 17.
Deuteronomy 31, 17. Let me read from verse 16. And Jehovah said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me, and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them. And they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? Hello?
Right. Yes. And what I wanted to know is what I observe from this verse, very often when he talks about that day, he's talking about a judgment day. But also what this verse, I think, is telling us is that that when he says he will forsake them, that is the judgment, you know, that because even Christ said that, why hast thou forsaken me? So when we look at what the judgment is it's the forsaking, and the hiding of his face is that's all such the same language, and then he goes on to talk about being devoured and evil troubles and again, even the close of that verse, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? That's more language to talk about forsaking when our God is not among us. And if you were to go to there's another I think Jeremiah 5 verse 19 would be my next verse.
Jeremiah 5, verse 19, It shall come to pass, when ye shall say, Wherefore doeth Jehovah our God all these things unto us? Then shalt thou answer them, Like as ye have forsaken me, and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours.
And when he says, Like as ye have forsaken me, and then he says, So, it's almost like you have forsaken me, so I will forsake you. And when he talks about ye serving strangers in a land that is not yours, that's something that happens to a people that are forsaken of God. So it's kind of parallel language.
I think you're correct that the judgment of God, we know Christ stated that on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we also know with the church that the judgment of God on them was the removal of the Holy Spirit. That is, God left them. And that ties in with forsaking. It says in Hebrews in chapter 13, in verse 5, let not your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And this is God's promise to his people. He never leaves the children of God. No matter our sins or what wrongs we've done, because he has forgiven all those sins, and so he will not forsake the elect like he forsook Israel, or like he forsook the corporate church, or like God has forsaken the world at this time. God left the church. There was no more salvation. God left the world in the sense that there's no more salvation. And you're right. It's part of the judgment of God. Well, thank you for these verses and for bringing up that idea. And let's go to the next person on the phones. Welcome to our Friday night question and answer.
I know that in these end times, God does not want us to pray for example, people in the church and the unsaved, because salvation is not possible anymore. But I was wondering if it's still acceptable to just pray for others in general, whether they're saved or not, for example, to get them through a time with the loss of a loved one, or is that acceptable, just general prayers for others?
Well, actually, you know, you said that you know that we should not be praying for the salvation of anyone in the church or for others at this time. And that's not actually true. Jesus has given us the example of an individual. Yes, he's God, but he's also man. And he was an individual who was under the wrath of God and drank of the cup of the Father's wrath. And we read of that in Matthew 26 when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying. He goes to the Father while he is experiencing the wrath of God, and he prays in verse 39 of Matthew 26, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he prays the same prayer two more times, three times in total. And this is very instructive to us, because he was drinking of the cup, and now at this time it's judgment day in the world, and the world is drinking of the cup of the wrath of God. And since Jesus was under the wrath of God, yet he still prayed. What was he praying? Well, first he said, if it be possible. Now, remember the language back in Matthew 19 when the disciples were questioning him about the rich man, when the Lord had said, shall hardly a rich man enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And then in verse 25, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? And then in verse 26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And so Christ says in Matthew 26:39, if it be possible. But over in the parallel passage in Mark 14, it says in verse 36, and this is also in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Now, here Jesus is stating, all things are possible with the Father. And that's language that identifies with Matthew 19. With man, this is impossible. That is salvation. But with God, all things are possible. And so when Christ is praying this prayer in the garden, and he's saying, all things are possible with you, Lord, with you, Father, and then he requests that the cup pass from him, that is a prayer of salvation. That is a prayer for mercy. And Christ, however, knew what the will of the Father was. The cup could not pass. He knew absolutely it was not the Father's will that that prayer be answered in the sense the cup passed from him. Nonetheless, he prayed it three times, and he did it for our benefit. We may pray, and we should be praying for everyone, just like we always have. We can pray for our neighbor who's in the church. We can pray for our neighbor who is an atheist and never goes to church. We can pray for everyone, and we could pray this same thing. Oh, Father, all things are possible with thee. May it be, may this cup pass from this family. And we know very well that they were in the church in the days leading up to May 21. They never left. And therefore, the Holy Spirit could not have saved them in the church. And now the Holy Spirit isn't working in the world. We know this. But we pray, Father, may, since all things are possible with thee, may the cup pass from them. And we're desiring the very best for our neighbors. However, we also know the will of God at this time. Yet, you know, basically what God is doing by allowing us to pray this way is he's saying, now look, you may still make request for anyone at all and beseech me for anyone at all. Of course, we should do so with knowledge and understanding and laying it out. We know the door is shut and so forth. And when we pray, may the cup pass, we're acknowledging the cup is here. And yet God is saying, you can beseech me for all your worth. You can pray to me for your newborn child who was born after the door to heaven shut, and leave it with me and my will. That's the key. We leave it with God, knowing the will of God. Yet it's very comforting for the believer that we can still beseech the Lord for these things, and we don't we're just recognizing we've entered into the day of judgment, but we're still going to God.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris.
Okay. Thank you for that good question. Let's go to the next person. Welcome to our Friday night question and answer.
Echo 2011 asks, please explain the word wanton in James chapter 5, verse 5.
James 5, verse 5. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Well, I'm sorry, I haven't looked up this word, or at least not recently, and I couldn't tell you exactly what it means. I mean, I can tell you what what I would think it means, what I understand the word to mean, but I wouldn't be able to say definitely without looking it up. But we can tell from the context of the first part of the verse is very understandable, and this is speaking of the rich men. Let's look at this context in verse 1. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. And verse 3, the end of the verse, says, ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Well, the lived in pleasure on the earth. That is the key. And the rich man spiritually is pointing to those well, not just those in the churches, but primarily those in the churches who think they have the riches of God, but do not. And so God identifies them as rich men. And also those who live in sin on the earth, the pleasures of sin we read about last for a season in the book of Hebrews. And so man goes after his sins. He thinks this is what enjoyment is. This is what will pleasure him. And he has been wanton, that is, very desirous, lust-filled. That's the idea I have from that word. But again, I haven't looked it up to see how it might be used in some other places. But thank you for bringing up this verse and your question. And let's go to the next person on the phones. Welcome to our Friday night question and answer.
Good evening, Chris. In light of what you just said about praying for those in the churches and what you read in Matthew about Christ praying that the cup would pass from him and comparing Scripture with Scripture, could you read Jeremiah 11, verse 14, and Jeremiah 14, verse 11, mm-hmm. and compare that with everything you just spoke on?
Sure. Jeremiah 11, 14, therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. And I think there's a similar verse in Jeremiah 14, 11. Then said Jehovah unto me, pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Well, we have to keep in mind that the book of Jeremiah is mostly a large portion of it describing God's judgment on the churches and congregations. And we know that the Bible indicates the wrath of God is on the church. Judgment began there. And the church age ended and so on. And so we were not to pray for the ongoing work of the churches. We were not to pray, and we're still not to pray, for instance, that individuals might, while they're at church, be blessed by the preaching of the sermon, that they might be blessed by the literature of the church, or we're not to pray for the outreach of the churches, for their missions, for any aspect of the church work. We're not to pray for these people. But it has never meant we're not to pray for the individuals. Where we can pray for anyone in a church in the days leading up to May 21, when it was still possible for people to come out of the churches, Oh, yes, we were praying for them, praying that the Lord would lead them out. And we prayed for anyone, whether it was a pastor, an elder, a deacon, or just an individual member of the congregation. And we prayed for them as individuals. We are prohibited by these verses in praying for blessing upon the congregation, upon the teaching of the church itself, because the Holy Spirit wasn't there. It would have been a useless prayer anyway. But we could pray that the Lord bless the individuals by leading them out then. Now, at this time, we can still pray for the individuals in the manner that Christ has outlined, that the cup might pass from them. And, you know, we're fully aware of the will of God, that it's judgment day, that that he's not saving. And how can it be of any benefit? Well, I don't know. Why is it that Christ, who knew God's will perfectly from eternity past to eternity future, he knew everything that would happen to him. Why is it that he went to the Father and prayed three times that the cup might pass? And he knew full well that he must drink of the cup. Was it a vain prayer that he made? Was it an empty prayer, an empty request, totally useless? No. Well, Christ would never involve himself in something vain and empty and useless. That's what sin is. No, it had tremendous benefit, and it was of tremendous comfort to him. And we don't know all the reason, but we know this is the example that Christ has given us, that we may pray. A mother who has a child today can pray her heart out day after day, like mothers have always prayed for their children, and bring the baby to the Lord and pray, "Oh, Father, all things are possible with thee. May this cup pass from my little boy," and pray again the next day and the next day and the next day. "Father, may this cup pass," and conclude each prayer, "Not my will, but thine be done." And that is key. And, you know, we're just laying it back into the hands of God, the will of God. I know some individuals don't like the idea that God isn't saving. And they would say, well, it's no use to pray something like this. Well, what are we doing? We're saying God's will be done. God's will be done. What could ever be wrong with praying a prayer like that? May your perfect will be done. And also, in the meantime, the Lord lets us pour out our hearts as we've always done in praying for people. But thank you for those verses. And we have a couple of minutes left. If anyone else has anything, a question or a comment you'd like to make, please just give us a call and contact us in the ways that were outlined earlier. All right. I don't see anyone else with their hand up or any caller in the queue. So we'll just end it here at this time. I would like to thank everyone for sharing your questions and your making your comments, and especially for the Bible verses we had an opportunity to read and consider. Lord willing, we'll continue with our Bible study this Sunday in our online fellowship, continuing study Isaiah chapter 24, and also have another question and answer at that time following the study. But for now, I'll say good night, and may the Lord's perfect will be done.
Thank you so much for joining us during this Friday evening questions and answers time. The broadcast is heard live over the Internet beginning at approximately 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You may also join our Sunday afternoon broadcast of eBible's Questions and Answers beginning at approximately 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Until then, may the Lord grant us His wisdom, and may His perfect will be done. Have a blessed evening. Good night.